A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. We have in our readings today this beautiful account of the calling of Isaiah and the calling of St. Peter. And I would say these readings that we have today is revelatory of a certain reality in our lives as baptized people of the Lord. The Lord always seeks us out. Let us not forget that. The Lord always seeks us out. It began in the Garden of Eden when our first parents first sinned. God came looking for them. "Adam, where are you?" You know, not that the Lord does not know where Adam is, but to show that of his desire to be with his people, to be with the crown of his creation. And so all of the story of humankind is filled with this, with God seeking for his people, seeking for us. Now, probably in some time, at some point, you have told yourself that, "Oh, I am seeking for the Lord." That might be from your perspective, but the fact is, it is always God who does the initiative. It is always God who first seeks us out. Thomas Merton, that great monk from Gethsemane in Kentucky, once wrote that the fact that you're saying you are seeking God, you're looking for God, it means God has already found you. The reality has already set in your life such that now you are trying to respond. "I am looking for God." Now here, like I said, in the readings today, we have these two calls. One by one, a call for Isaiah, and the gospel is the call to Peter. And it's, like I said, revelatory, paradigmatic, emblematic of our call as well to follow the Lord. So here we have St. Peter, and apparently he and his man were fishing the entire night, because it makes sense. You know, I'm not a fisherman, but from what I know, you fish at night because that's where you get a lot of fish. All you have to do is carry a lamp with you, and the light will attract the fish. And so you fish at night. Well, they were fishing the entire night, and there was no catch. There was no catch. And here comes Jesus encountering Peter. And I would imagine they have encountered they have encountered for other time, a lot of times. But this one is the powerful meeting and the turning point in the life of Saint Peter. And so Jesus entered the boat of Peter, which very interesting, by the way. He says there were two boats there. There were two boats there, but the Lord chose the boat of Peter. Now that Luke is trying to underline the fact that Saint Peter is special in the eyes of Jesus. That's why we have a special respect for the Pope, because there's a preponderance of Jesus to always speak in and through Peter. And so he chose the boat of Peter, and Jesus from the boat of Peter began to speak to the people. And then after that, he knew that there was no catch and that these men were mending and cleaning their nets. Jesus said, well, go out into the deep and catch some more. And go out into the deep. Like I said, this is revelatory of our own calling by the Lord. Peter met Jesus in the ordinariness of his occupation. We encounter the Lord in the unfolding of our ordinary occupations, in the details of our ordinary lives. Certainly, here at Mass is our encounter with the Lord par excellence. But He is there. He is there if only we have eyes to see how He is present in the work that we do. That's why we have Peter encountering Jesus in his occupation of fishing. And so Jesus said, well, go out and fish again. Like I told you, you know, well, Peter is the best there is in that profession. He knew the sea. He knew the art of fishing. And here's a carpenter telling him, you know, you go and fish again. You know, and here we have we see the humility of Peter. He knew better, and yet because he is humble, he says, Lord, because if you say so, then we will go. Another thing to think about: to encounter the Lord authentically, to be able to see God in our lives, breaking in into our lives, we need to have a humble heart. God will not appear to us. God will not come to us if you say, if you are God, why aren't you doing this thing for me? You will be met with silence. But if you understand of your need for God, of your powerlessness, God will come like a dew. And so Peter in his humility said, okay, we will go. And Jesus says, duk in altum. You know, go out into the deep. You know, duk in altum. That's a favorite phrase and prayer of Saint John Paul II. Duk in altum. Now, there's something problematic there as well. Like I said, Saint Peter knew that the fishes will be closer to the shore because that's where the food is. You go out into the deep and there will be less fish. But he was listening to the Lord, and so he went just the same. And then when they cast their nets, it says there was catch aplenty. Their boats were almost sinking. They have to call on the next boat to help them reel the catch in. You see, that's what happens when we encounter the Lord and we submit to the call of the Lord and we enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of plenty. Plenty. Bounty. That's what awaits us. Joy. Goods. Provision. That's what the Lord wants. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's what happens. That's what happens when we go with the Lord, when we embrace the Lord and say yes to His invitation. And so when Peter saw this event, he was moved because what he's seeing is something which is transcendental, something that is beyond, that is supernatural. How can this be? And so he was dazzled and he was humbled by the presence of the divine before him. And so what happens? He is in the presence of the divine and he is reminded of his own unworthiness. And Peter said, be far away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. That's the mark of holiness. Because whenever we are before the presence of the divine, we begin to realize our own unworthiness. Saint John of the Cross once said that to approach God is like a glass. You know, a glass. A glass, if you place it against the source of light, the sun, the light will reveal the smudges, the imperfection in the glass. Whereas if you keep the glass in the shadows, in the shade, it looks nice. It looks perfect. That's what's happening to Peter. And that's what happens to us as well. The closer we get to God, the closer we progress in the spiritual journey, all the more we realize our imperfection. You know, I work with a lot of seminarians. I help to form them to become priests. And as we accompany them into the journey of the priesthood, we these men, most of them will say, the closer they get to ordination, they will say, you know, Father, I'm not worthy of this office. You know, I says, well, now you are ready. Now you are ready. Because they realize that they cannot do this without the Lord. That's what happens. That's what's happened. It's a mark of humility, and it's a mark of one's progress into the spiritual life. And so finally the Lord consoled Peter. Because really, it is not our task. It is not our task to make ourselves worthy of God. We participate in the grace that's given to us, but it's not dependent on our own effort. Grace is given, and we participate in that grace. And so here, Jesus said, from now on, Peter, you will be a fisher of men, you know, and he will be given the grace, as we can see, he will be given the grace to be able to fulfill that office. Which leads us now to another lesson regarding our own discipleship. Our encounter with God, our knowledge of the Lord, is not something that is only for us. Our knowledge of God is not only for us, because this is not a New Age religion. A New Age religion is, it's me. It's for me. It's for my improvement and for my self-realization. No, that's not Christianity. Of course, when we follow the Lord, we improve ourselves because that's part of His will. But that's only half of the story. The other part, the fullness of the story, is we receive the grace of the Lord. We receive the discipleship. And then we go out into mission. We go out into, like I said, we do not keep the gifts that the Lord has given us in our encounter and discipleship with Him. Our faith, the Christian faith, is such that we receive God, we receive the many blessings, and then we go out into the world, very much like what is patterned here. The same thing we can see in the first reading, the calling of Isaiah. In the calling of Isaiah, it's different. Isaiah has seen this marvelous vision of God in heaven. And so God was seated on a very tall throne, and His robes swept the entirety of the temple. Now that metaphorical language speaks of, once again, the transcendence of God. And it was regal and majestic, that there were angels around the Lord, and they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is God." Who are these angels? These are the seraphims. The seraphims are the burning ones. That's the literal translation of that term, the burning ones. They burn because they are right there in the very presence of God, who is fire. Is a fire of love and a fire of love for His people and for His creation. So they're set on fire. And they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." By the way, triple holy is how the Hebrew language makes the superlative. They do not have the superlative form the way we do. You say holiest. They don't have that. They just have to repeat the word three times. Say, "Holy, holy, holy." And that's what we do at Mass. We say, "Holy, holy, holy." Okay, so that's the vision of Isaiah. And Isaiah was moved. He was so moved by that transcendent image of God in his majesty. And he said, woe is me, because I am a sinful man. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. And so an angel came and took an ember from the altar and touched it on his mouth and said, see, now you are clean. Now, we too, like I said, like St. Peter, when we encounter the Lord, we are reminded of our own sinfulness, of our own unworthiness. But an angel comes from the altar and brings us the very body of Christ that touches our lips. And very much like what the angel said to Isaiah, see now, you are cleansed. We are cleansed every time the Holy Eucharist from the altar touches our lips and becomes part of our own. All venial sins are forgiven at Mass. The Holy Eucharist cleanses us of all the venial sins. Of course, mortal sins has to be confessed. But venial sins, we are cleansed. And so with this now, he's made right with God. Isaiah has been justified by God. Now, once again, very much like St. Peter, he heard the voice. He says, whom shall we send? Once again, that dimension of being sent out to preach to the world, to take care of the world. Whom shall we send? And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. My friends, you and I share the same boat with Isaiah and St. Peter. You and I had been encountered by the Lord in many, many ways, foremost of which is our baptism. That's our encounter par excellence with the Lord. But then, of course, our encounter with the Lord does not end at one time. It does not end only at baptism. Every step of the way, we encounter the Lord in special ways. When we are moved by a crisis, when we are moved by an experience, when we are moved by a personality, a new door is being opened for us. And once again, we are consumed with our unworthiness. And the Lord continues to make us right. In the second reading, St. Paul said, I am the least of all the apostles because I killed all of those Christians. But the Lord justified me, and here I am. I am what I am. And so he went into the world, preaching into the known world in all of the Roman Empire, the gospel of Jesus. We are called to do the same. Like I said, we are not meant to keep the graces of the Lord inside us for me and me alone. No, that is meant to be shared. And so today, I would like to bring up to our attention the call of the Archdiocese for us to do exactly that. Now, this is one of the many ways by which we do apostolate, by which we go out and spread the Word of God. You know very well that we have this together in mission. And here, we are being given a very concrete opportunity to do exactly what Isaiah and what St. Peter had done and what the rest of the good apostles had done. They encountered the Lord, they were cleansed, they were made worthy, they were converted, and now they are going out to the world. The same thing for all of us. Today, let us commit to doing the work of God within our families, within our homes, within our workplaces, within the universal church, within the local community. And like I said, let's begin by reaching out to those unfortunate members of our church here in Los Angeles in this work of Together in Mission. I understand that majority of us have received their envelope through the mail. If you do not have your envelopes, it's there on the pews. You can fill them out, or you can go online to do this. But the whole point is, let us put our faith in practice. Let it be that the fruits of our encounter with the Lord is manifested in concrete ways. like this together in mission, where we actually help those who are, like I said, less fortunate in our parish. May our continuing following of the Lord bless us with many, many good things, but more than anything else, to know the Lord and to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind. And very much like those who have encountered Him in good faith, we too can say, "Here I am, send me."